In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. There's a table out in the narthex this morning with information about Kairos Prison Ministry. Kairos comes out of the Curcio movement. It's a Christian-based ministry which addresses the spiritual needs of incarcerated men, women, youth, and their families. At Holy Apostles, we have an active Kairos ministry. You know, there are two kinds of Kairos: Kairos inside and Kairos outside. Kairos inside is a ministry that seeks to create a Christian community inside a prison. It's a 3.5-day weekend with talks and discussions and meditations about God's love, about how Jesus sets us free from our sins, and about how to create a Christian community inside a prison. Guys like David Mize and Ken Gaddis and Tommy Lotz and Ray Newton are all involved in Kairos Inside. Well, family members of those in prison often feel isolated and alone, like they are serving time right alongside their loved ones. So Kairos Outside is a ministry to spouses and parents and relatives of those who are in prison. The Kairos Outside Weekend is a 2.5-day program based on a series of talks by volunteers designed to address the pain of separation and judgment of others from their community. Vicki and Ed Gandy, Hillary Genis, Jim Mersman, Cindy Pukta, and Marilee Newton are all active in Kairos Outside, and Jim and Cindy have a table set up this morning. You can stop by and be part of their prayer vigil, help with their prayer chain, or buy meal tickets. And if you like to color with crayons or pencils, you can stop by and color as well. Those involved with Kairos have incredible stories of transformation. Talk with one of them sometime at church or coffee hour, at supper group, or at men's group. I've been amazed by their stories and encourage you to seek them out and hear their stories and be introduced to the Kairos ministry. You know, it's so easy for us to forget about those who are in prison. We think of them and label them as bad people, and we don't want to think about them, don't want to see them. We don't see their wives or family members and what they go through. And that's why Kairos is so powerful, because it communicates that those in prison are valuable, that they can be forgiven, and that we see them as a fellow human being. Today's gospel from Luke is about seeing people. The parable is called the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And it's about who we choose to see and who we choose to not see. Now, the two figures in the parable, they couldn't be more different. There's Lazarus, and we know his name, while the other, the rich man, is unnamed. The rich man lives in excess while Lazarus is in complete need. One is covered with sores while the other is covered with purple. One is wealthy and the other poor. Well, they both die and go to the afterlife. And then there's a complete reversal of the two. Lazarus is at peace while the rich man is in torment. Lazarus is at Abraham's side while the rich man is separated from God, separated from the faithful. And this is because of choices that he made in this life that carry over and have implications for the next life. What's important to say, this is not a parable about what heaven or hell will be like, that the righteous will be able to see the unrighteous, will be able to talk back and forth to each other and see one another. That's not the point. The point is about this life, and about who we see and who we don't see. Are we so focused on ourselves that we fail to meet the needs of other people? That we fail to help? Of all the people the rich man should have known who needed his help, it was Lazarus. And here's someone he sees every day, walks past every day when he leaves his home. These two are in close proximity, and so the message is, with proximity comes the sense of responsibility to our fellow person. For some reason, what should have been proximity and responsibility became a chasm between them. And the chasm was not just in the next life, but there was also a chasm. There was also a separation between them in this life. It was a distance between them that seemed impossible to cross. Whether it was because the rich man didn't want to or couldn't or had conditioned himself to stop seeing Lazarus. And this parallels our own experience because we build chasms. We separate ourselves from other people all the time. There's people that we choose to see and not see. We build prison walls to house inmates. We change the channel on TV. We drive past people on freeway off-ramps. We change sides of the street when we're walking downtown. Now, we have to be smart, and we must keep ourselves and keep our families safe. But we can't let our fear keep us from seeing the humanity of another person. At our previous church in Arizona, we figured out that the best way to help the homeless wasn't giving them money directly, but giving to local organizations. Organizations that feed and house and clothe people in need. And so we can point people to shelters and to food banks, and we can support those community organizations. Martin Luther once said, "You can't feed every beggar in the world, but you can feed the one at your gate." So the answer isn't that we feed every person, though it would be incredible and wonderful if we could. But we begin by seeing the needs at our doorstep. The people in close proximity to us. Out here in the suburbs, it may not be the homeless who are at our doorstep, but those in need are closer than we suspect. We would be surprised, even in our own setting, about how many of us have a connection with someone who has made a mistake and served some time, or families with a connection to mental illness. Or families or individuals with a connection to addiction. We have coworkers, we have family members, we have friends and neighbors. If you look around, someone in your life needs you to pray for them. Someone in your life that you know needs a friend. Someone needs support, someone needs encouragement. I'm not a big bumper sticker person, but I saw one a few weeks ago out here on Highway 150 that caught my attention. It said, "Be kind, for everyone you know is in a great struggle." And I thought, man, that is so true. And the longer I live and longer I serve this parish and hear what families in the parish go through and folks in our community go through, everyone is going through something and dealing with something all the time. Also, this is the second week in a row where Jesus tells a parable about wealth. As we talked about last week, there are spiritual dimensions to money, how we use it, how we spend it, and what we do with it. It's hard for us to see others who don't have it. And it's hard for us to see others who have way more of it than we do. We may look at this parable and say, well, we're not like the rich man, we're not wealthy. And we may not see ourselves as wealthy, but we are wealthy in terms of world standards. We have two cars. We have running water. We have plenty of food to eat. It's important for us to realize what the rich man did wrong. He's not punished because he's wealthy. It's not about how much he has. He's punished because he didn't care for Lazarus. His wealth led to selfishness and focusing on himself. In God's eyes, the rich man had mixed up his priorities and what was truly important in life. I came across a story this week I want to share with you guys today. 40 years ago, Bob Wicks was a very busy man. He was a university professor, author, healthcare consultant, and conference speaker on multiple continents. He was only in his 30s, but already doing more than he had ever dreamed. He was also burning himself out. One day, he received a call from Fred, an old friend. Bob had been the best man at Fred's wedding a decade earlier, but they had lost touch with each other. Bob was delighted at hearing his friend's voice, took several minutes to detail his numerous exploits and the toll they were taking on his body, his mind, and his spirit. When he finally came up for air, he asked, "Well, Fred, what about you? How are you doing?" "Actually, Bob, I'm dying," came the answer. Fred, who was also in his 30s, had a rare form of brain cancer. Family members were hoping for a miracle. But as Fred said, "You know when you're dying, and I'm dying." Bob was in shock when he learned that Fred was hospitalized less than an hour away. He jumped in his car. The two men quickly rekindled their friendship. They shared jokes, and they pondered Fred's medical condition. And then Fred looked up and asked Bob what Bob assumed was just a throwaway question. "Well, what have you been doing that has been especially important over the past several years?" And Bob once again began to tick off all his list of accomplishments. But Fred waved his hand in dismay, cut him off. No, not that stuff. "The important stuff," he said. "I'm not sure what you're talking about then, Fred." "Bob, the important stuff." Bob would later recall in his book, Night Call, he said these four words slowly, as if he were speaking to someone who spoke English as a second language and needed time to translate in his mind what was being communicated. Fred then ticked off a number of questions for his friend. "Tell me about the quiet walks you take by yourself every day. What museums do you belong to? What books have you read and movies have you seen recently? Where do you go fishing? Tell me about your circle of friends and the voices they provide for you so you don't go astray." "You know, Bob, the important stuff." But Bob just sat there, stunned. His friend's life was slipping away, and Fred, in fact, would die just a few months later. Yet here he was teaching me about living and self-care and not forgetting to live life to the fullest. Bob later found himself replaying that hospital room conversation when he read this line by author and physician Walker Piercy. "What if life is like a plane and you miss it? It's possible to become so busy and so distracted and so committed to checking off all the items on our must accomplish before I die list that we forget to take care of ourselves, forget to take care of other people, and to allow our hearts to be shaped by God's love and God's grace. So don't forget to live life while you're actually living it. Make sure you take time to experience the important stuff." Like the rich man, we can be so focused on ourselves, what we want to achieve and want to do, we can miss those in proximity to us. With proximity comes responsibility and caring for our fellow person. So may God give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that are willing to stop and listen and care and help. And rather than pushing people away, be open and responsive to the needs of others. Amen.